Chapter 80 Sword of the Shalane. The Shalane found her brief sleep fleeting and uneven, but when she rose an hour after dawn, she didn't feel tired. Her mind buzzed with the arguments she must make in Embris 2 days' ride away, and she turned them over in her head, trying to hone them into something irresistibly persuasive. The only direct evidence of Mikik's treachery would come from her experiences, but Ethris's arguments had helped show her that other circumstances could help in confirmation. The ease of the Battle of Echo Hold, the unreasonable assumption that Jen had acted under Mikik's orders, and even Ethris's own death suggested Mikik's hand. The smells of broiled pig and sweet porridge wafted up to her room, though the savoury odours failed to induce hunger in her twisting stomach. She pried open the shutters. Outside, a gentle morning drizzle saturated the dazzling greens and reds and purples of the flowers and trees around the Blackshire Manor, though the light clouds and a brisk, fragrant breeze promised change. The door cracked.
"Shall I call for the maid?" Gerund asked.
"No, thank you, Gerund," she replied. "I will fend for myself this morning."
She brushed her hair and dressed, wondering if Jen had reached Echo Hold yet. If fortune had favoured them, her mother might soon be free. Or the both of them dead. The Shalane tried to shove this gnawing worry away. Her mother had always tried to instruct her not to fret over things she could not control, but she'd always found the notion a little strange. What one couldn't control was precisely what demanded worry. Their party for the trip had shrunk to Maewyn, Dacen, Volney, Gerund, General Harband, and around 500 soldiers. While not a formidable force, it couldn't easily be ignored either. Maewyn greeted her outside the dining room where she had packed her sparse provisions.
"Any word from Fal'el?" the Shalane asked.
"Not yet," Maewyn said. "It is hard to say when he will return. I offer my condolences for Ethris. His loss is a fell blow indeed. I wish Amos were here now."
"So do I," the Shalane agreed.
"It is my counsel that we stay off the road as much as possible," Maewyn said. "We must move about unexpectedly to avoid a trap."
General Harband entered, his appearance as fierce and discomforting as always.
"I will get the men up and ready to march," he said. "I hunger for an opportunity to bash in the heads of a few church boys, creepy little geldings that they are."
The Shalane smiled at the idea of someone as fearsome as General Harband possessing such a sentiment. She said,
"I would like to leave within the hour, 2 hours at the most."
He nodded and left, and the Shalane went into the dining room to find Fenner and Dacen talking in the corner again, and she groaned within herself. Volney and Jeff stood as she entered, and she asked them to sit. Dacen cast longing, hurtful looks in her direction, and she ignored him pointedly. Gerund stood calmly behind her, and she wondered if his older brother's behaviour shamed or amused him. The anemic conversation did little to cheer the meal, but while they ate, a servant entered.
"Lord Blackshire, there are 3 pure men here who carry a message to you from the north and wish to dine with you."
"Let them in," Jeff said. "Elisa, we need 3 more plates," he shouted back to the kitchen.
Everyone turned as the 3 pure men entered, and as soon as they crossed the threshold of the kitchen, everyone jumped away from the table as swords were drawn. Padre Aethon, Padre Nolan, and Padre Wolfram stood before them, Aethon stretching out his hands in a placating gesture.
"We wish to talk and to eat," Aethon said. "Nothing more. This does not need to end in bloodshed."
The Shalane waved the weapons down, fighting to control her fear. Gradually the room relaxed, a nervous Elisa placing the 3 plates on an unused side of the table and retreating hastily back to the kitchen. The 3 padres sat, and for several minutes they did nothing but eat their food, while the rest of the company nibbled at theirs and watched them.
"How did you find me?" the Shalane asked.
Aethon threw her a disappointed look.
"It was clear your army made for Rugoth. It is really quite obvious that you would seek to rest and recover under the roof of old friends, though even if you had thought to seek refuge somewhere more clever, I could find you anywhere in the world."
"So did you arrange a little bargain with the Ash Witch to kill Ethris last night to keep him from interfering?"
The trio of crinkled brows and surprised expressions answered the question, but Aethon seemed incredulous.
"Ethris is dead?"
"His body lies in the chapel."
"We had nothing to do with that," Aethon professed. "The Ash Witch is his mother."
"This is indeed a strange turn of events.
though I would be lying if I pretended to be sorry about the loss. But enough banter. Eldaloth has asked me to relay this message to you in good faith. If you do not accept this offer, then he will send an army to raise Blackshire until you relent.
Your barbarity will only hurt your cause, Aethon, the Shalane said. Every innocent you kill in the name of Eldaloth will only expose him for who he really is.
Aethon wiped his mouth with a tablecloth and retrieved his utensils.
Your deception is so ingrained and deep that it makes me pity you. Listen carefully. Your mother dies at dusk today. Eldaloth offers this. If you will consent to heal him, he will ensure that the death is dignified and will not have her run through the streets. If after you heal him you do not wish the passage to Erelinda, he will not force it upon you, but you must remain at Echo Hold under his protection. Do not answer now. Consider carefully what I have said. And eat. You will need your strength. His wound is grievous.
She asked, And where is Mikik? Must I go to Echo Hold to heal him?
Do not profane his holiness, Aethon roared, pointing his fork tines at her. Eldaloth has favoured Blackshear with unusual condescension. He awaits your ministrations in the chapel behind this building. Do make your decision quickly. Depending on what you choose, Lord Blackshear may have a lot on his mind. Such a beautiful country here. It would be a shame to see the streets running with blood and its quaint buildings choked with fire.
Aethon returned to his breakfast, eating heartily as if famished. The Shalane sat back, defeated. She would not sacrifice an entire town on principle. Her mother might have the stomach for it, but the Shalane's heart couldn't bear the thought. The entire company sat on edge, save the churchmen. Unbidden, tears came to the Shalane's eyes. She would march to her doom and never see her mother or Jen again. Mikik might make promises, but if he saw her as a threat, he would evaporate her into nothingness just as he had Shatan. The Shalane stared at the smug Aethon, hand itching for a sword. He would ruin the world by his willful ignorance. Aethon cleared his plate and set his silverware down.
So what will it be, Shalane? Please call me Lady Alumira, she said. I will go.
No, Maywin said. You cannot fall into his hands.
There is no other way, Maywin, the Shalane replied.
I will not have this place burned to the ground and its people slaughtered on my account. Give my love to my mother and others, if I do not return.
Let's get this over with.
A wise choice, Aethon congratulated her, smiling. You will soon see that there never was anything to fear.
Dacen, Volney, and Gerund fell in and around her as they left the house and traversed the beautiful stonework path that led round to the chapel. The Shalane lifted her veiled face to the rain, offering a silent prayer to a god whose existence she had begun to doubt. A slight glow emanated through the windows of the chapel, the pure men standing on the steps before the carved door. He bowed as they approached.
Welcome, brothers, he said, voice adoring. Eldaloth has come to my humble chapel. It is marvellous.
I will see him alone for a moment, Aethon said. Everyone else remain here.
Aethon entered and closed the door. The Shalane's hands shook and felt clammy. She glanced about at her protectors, each solemn and silent. They would die for her, but she would prevent that if she could. Aethon returned a short while later.
He will see you alone, Lady Alumira. He is quite pleased you have come at last.
I am sure he is.
We will go with her, Dacen said, standing tall.
Eldaloth says she comes alone, Aethon said, voice regaining its edge, and you will not disobey. Your swords will be useless against the magic of the Padres assembled here, and if you defy the wishes of Eldaloth, we will not hesitate to use it.
Stay, Dacen. Stay, Gerund and Volney, the Shalane ordered. No valiant notions of gallantry now. This is beyond the power of any of you. I will face this alone.
But, Dacen protested,
but nothing, Dacen, she said, raising her voice. You will obey me. Do not follow. Aethon is right. Your swords will avail you nothing here.
She hiked up her dress and took the familiar stairs, Aethon holding the door open for her as she entered. With an ominous, echoing boom, he shut it, remaining outside. She walked forward resolutely, trying not to dwell on the pleasant memories of the place that would never bear fruit. Mikik, tall,
regal and shining, stood by the altar at the front of the chapel, a wound in his side dripping golden blood onto the floor. As the Shalane walked forward, a young woman came from a room at the rear of the church wearing a simple white gown. Her face, while pretty, was severe.
"My child," Mikik said, "you have come home at last."
"You can drop the pretenses, Mikik," the Shalane said flatly as she approached. "I know who you are." As she neared the dark god, he seemed to flinch and pull in on himself. "You can hardly stand to be in the same room as me, can you?"
"Heal me,"
he said, stretching out a hand, unable to look at her.
"Why should I? You will only kill me."
"Because I hold in my hand the life of one you hold dear. It is in my power to make her death slow and painful, or quick and merciful."
The Shalane could feel him push into her mind with alarming ease and power. There he implanted an image of her mother on the floor of her cell, weak, emaciated, and nearly unconscious. Three rotted heads lay on the floor about her, members of the Dark Guard she had sent into Echo Hold as spies. The image faded.
"Heal me," he said, "and I will be merciful."
With tear-stained cheeks, she grasped the large hand. Mikik, convulsing at the touch as if burned by a white-hot fire. The wound, a gaping hole in his back where Jen had stabbed him, seeped blood from a cut she could have put her fist through. She gripped the reluctant hand tightly and set her will to work knitting the wound. As she did, eyes closed, she felt a seal in her mind released, uncovering the memory of the night before. The dark shadow in her room had approached and enveloped her. When she came to, she found herself on the edge of a large pond surrounded by tall grass and a few large trees. The terrain appeared similar to Blackshire, but in the light of the moons she could see little more than the soft hills that enclosed the water near where she stood. An old woman hunched over next to the bank close by. A man sat with his feet in the water a little distance off, holding a fishing line. A soft breeze tickled the grass, but the pleasantness ended there. The ill-favoured woman adjusted a dark cloak around her hunched frame and stepped forward.
"It is a pleasure to meet you at last, Highness," she said, voice scratchy. "Be at ease. I mean you no harm."
"Who are you?"
the Shalane asked, stepping backward.
"I am Joran, Ethris's mother. That is his simpler brother Dethris just there."
The Shalane shivered, trying to master her fear. The Ash Witch. She had heard the tales of this woman and her odd cycle of aging and rebirth, of her capricious actions that had both hurt and helped them.
"Do not fret, Shalane. I've only come to relay a message, but first I must know how he died."
"Who?"
"Jen, the one known as the Ilk. I raised him until the Millimeri took him from me."
"He died fighting the Uyumak to buy me time to escape," she said.
The woman looked at her quizzically.
"I don't want words. Give me your hand and you can show me," she said. "And then I will show you why Mikik wants you."
Joran extended her hand, but the Shalane pulled back.
"You might just wish to steal information from my mind for your master."
"If I needed that, I could have just taken what I wanted in your room. I will only take what you give me."
Nervously, the Shalane took the proffered hand and Joran concentrated.
"Show me."
The fresh memory came easily, and when it was over, Joran broke contact, shaking her head.
"An utter waste. But you don't seem as sad as I would have expected. The two of you shared a bond, no?"
"I have cried my tears, Joran. Tell me what you want."
Joran's eyes shifted to the pond.
"I must share something with you, but I will be honest. I am here of my own accord and for my own purpose. In fact, what I am going to tell you is not by Mikik's command, but contrary to it. For that reason, when we are done, I will hide what I have shown you, and it will only be triggered in the moment you need it to prevent prying eyes from seeing it. Aethon has dispatched a great force to find you and bring you to Mikik to heal him. He will succeed, sooner or later, whatever protections and schemes you may have. If he fails, then Mikik will risk exposure of his true identity and send me to fetch you back. Once he has you, however, he will no longer need to keep up his little ruse, at least not for long. You hold the key to everything.
How? The Shalane asked. The holy babe is dead.
On the bridge of Echo Hold, Mikik discovered something in you that he did not expect. You have Eldaloth's blood in your veins, Shalane. I do not know how the Milim Eri did it, but with that blood, Mikik can accomplish his purpose. To forge a weapon to still the spirit of Eldaloth that still abides in Eldaluri Mora. That presence tortures him without end. But that same weapon of blood can also be used to destroy him, so he must be cautious. And we must be cautious. You are familiar with blood magic?
The memory of draining Jen's blood she would never forget.
It was used to revive Shatan from death. It was horrible. Blood magic can only be used to annihilate or to heal. One can use the power of his own blood to heal another, but must use the willing blood of another to destroy. Blood ranges in power by race. The gods have the most powerful, while human blood holds so little power it is almost worthless. Almost. Within your veins you carry the most powerful blood in Kihol, and the power of blood is now the heart of the matter. I must show you why Mikik is impersonating Eldaloth. It is an idea I gave him and that he amplified and twisted for his own ends. I must show you what happens to these pilgrims who have come to claim the offer of passing on to Erelinda. Take my hand again.
The Shalane took her wrinkled appendage and Joran pressed a memory upon her. Before her a line stretched before the front gates to the keep at Echo Hold, the pilgrims chatting excitedly about their coming journey to a world without fear, sickness or pain. Many of those who came were old and infirm looking for relief, but children and families came too. The Elderfair led them through the gates, taking 20 at a time through the door of the keep, where a young Joran waited in what looked like a small hall. She was dressed in ceremonial white robes, a benevolent smile and inviting face hushing them as she raised her hands. The Elderfair left and shut the door. Joran stepped forward, clasping her hands in front of her.
You have all chosen a great gift, the greatest of all the blessings with which Eldaloth can bless you. I have seen the world into which you will enter, and it is glorious. Follow me. Leave all your worries and your possessions here. Eternal peace and a freedom from sorrow await. Come into the presence of Eldaloth and taste your reward.
She led the happy group through an archway and down a spiral staircase carved from the rock. Lanterns lit the way, and in that light the euphoria in the people's gazes faded ever so slightly, as the descent took them unexpectedly deep into the earth. At last, the journey ended at a beautiful gilded door encrusted with jewels. Joran produced a key and unlocked it, signalling the group to enter. She let them in. The lamp, the only illumination. The room was cylindrical, a mighty wooden beam rising from the centre of the floor and shooting upward to disappear into the darkness of the upper area of the chamber. Grooves etched into the floor emanated out from the post, deepening as they reached the edge of the room where they terminated in holes drilled in the floor.
"You may wonder why such things must be done in the deep of the earth,"
Joran said to the eager faces.
It is from the earth that life sprang, and Eldaroth's power courses through these underground passages like the blood in your veins. I will leave, and the room will be dark. Kneel and pray these words which I give you. Freely I give my body, freely I give my blood, freely take my life to rest in Erelinda. When Eldaroth hears you, a great light and a rushing like a mighty wind will carry you to Erelinda and a life of rest.
With joy the pilgrims embraced one another, and then knelt, smiles and tears gracing their faces. As one their chant to Eldaloth rose, and Joran stepped out and shut the door. On the wall an iron lever waited, and she reached out and pulled it down. The rushing sound she so reverently promised came, not of wind but of something heavy falling. It terminated in an awful clang that shook the chamber. She opened the door,
revealing a heavy metal platform that had descended and crushed the supplicants, their blood draining down the grooves and through the holes. The Shalane pulled away in horror, ending the vision.
You monster! Whose side are you on?
It's not about sides, Shalane, Joran scowled. It's about survival. Listen to me carefully. In order to get the power that he needs to destroy Elder Lurimora, he will need the blood of countless thousands of the race of men. It may take months. Eldaloth needs your blood drained only 7 times, which will save him time and more lives than you can count. But he fears you because that same blood is what is needed to destroy him, as the blade the Ilk used against him almost did. This is what matters. When you are before Mikik, the only way his scheme will work is if you are willing to give the blood. You have the power to bargain. He may try to bargain for the life of your mother, who now stands condemned to die.
When?
The Shalane asked, mortified.
Nothing is fixed. Aethan will use her to try to persuade you to come, but even if you disagree, he will take you. But when the time comes that you stand before Eldaloth, you must remember this. Whatever the cost, the only bargain you should make is for your own life. If you do not, he will unmake you just as he did Shatan and your baby. Once he has your blood, he will make the weapon. He cannot abide your presence for long. You may need to use that to your advantage. Remember, give your blood only in exchange for your life. You must remain alive if there is to be any hope of ending Mikik.
Mother,
Dethrys said, pulling in his pole and laying it in the grass.
He comes?
Yes, he does.
Joran sighed.
It is time, then. Shalane, I will make you forget this until it is the proper time. Mikik may search your mind, and he cannot know what I have done. When you remember again, remember that what I do so we can survive.
Joran reached out and took her hand, and the Shalane collapsed. The Shalane released Mikik's hand and stepped back, gasping at the horrible memory. The woman who came with Mikik, regarding her intently from behind her master, was the Ash Witch, Mikik's crony with some agenda she could not understand. Mikik, now healed, probed his healed back and stood upright.
I have one more need of you, Shalane, he said. I need your blood. I need you to give it willingly. If you do not, I will ensure that your mother is killed in the most brutal manner. She will scream loud enough for you to hear it.
The Shalane looked at Mikik and at Joran. She couldn't bear the thought of her mother's torture and death, but if Joran was right, then Mikik would unmake her, and the virtue of her blood would be lost. Her thoughts turned to Jen and Cadean, and if they were too late, the chances had never been good, but Jen and failure never seemed to enter her mind together at the same time. She said,
I will only give my blood to you willingly, on the condition that I am left alive, unchanged, and free when you are finished. I will accept no other terms, and if you go against them, then the contract is void. That is my only offer.
Mikik regarded her coldly.
I cannot let you live.
Then kill me now. I will not willingly give you any blood of mine.
He stepped forward, towering over her.
Perhaps I did not make it plain what I can do to your mother. Perhaps I did not make it plain what I can do to this town.
Again he pushed into her mind, showing her scenes of depravity and destruction that chilled her heart and weakened her knees. Her mother yelled in agony under blades and flames of torture unending. The buildings of Blackshire burned with the families inside, the bodies of the soldiers ripped apart by the wild animals drawn to the carnage. Men, women, children, her mother all stared at her with pleading eyes, begging her to give them release. The vision faded, and she nearly fell under the emotional weight. Joran, standing just behind her master, regarded her intently. Breathing in deeply to collect herself, the Shalane stood tall.
I stand by my conditions. Take them or leave them.
Mikik stared death at her for several moments and then turned on his heel.
So be it.
With a thought, he turned the altar into a wide stone basin.
Joran, seal the doors and bleed her 7 times. When finished, erase the memory of this encounter. I will need the support of the Padres a little while longer. I will return shortly.
Mikik disappeared into the rooms behind the altar, leaving the Shalane with Joran, who glanced at her meaningfully. The Shalane ascended the steps, Joran signalling for her to lean over the basin.
You have done well,
Joran whispered, putting a thin knife.
I am sorry for this necessity.
For what felt like the entire morning, the Shalane found herself reliving the nightmare of Jen's bleeding. Watching the blood drain from her arm and the accompanying weakness sickened her. She vomited twice, unable to bear glancing at the gathering pool of blood. After the seventh bleeding and healing, Joran appeared spent. Feeling unsteady, the Shalane descended to the first bench and threw herself onto it.
What is he going to do? The Shalane asked.
Joran opened her mouth to answer, but Mikik, striding forward from the back of the chapel, closed it. He carried a simple sword in his hand, one that might be found in the scabbard of a common soldier. Face twisted in discomfort, he stopped well short of the bloody basin.
Take the sword, Joran, he instructed. Lay it in the blood.
Joran complied and stepped back. Mikik did not approach any closer, but the dark speech flowed smoothly from his lips in subdued tones. The Shalane remembered the familiar words from the vision Aldemar had shown her. His incantation lasted but moments, but when he was finished, the blood was gone and the sword shone with power. Mikik produced a dark cloth from nothing and handed it to Joran.
Conceal it and give it to me.
Again, Joran obeyed, and once the sword was obscured, Mikik's eyes closed in relief and he took the sword from her.
At last it is finished. At last I shall have an end of agony, and Eldaloth be silenced forever. Cleanse her memory while I go instruct the helpful Padres about their next task. Meet me in Echo Hold. We have work to do.
Give me your hand,
Joran said as Mikik strode to the doors. When the Shalane placed her hand in Joran's, she could feel Joran come into her mind again, but instead of covering the memory of the sword's creation, she spoke.
I will not erase what you know, but understand that Mikik now holds the power of your blood in a weapon like the first he used to strike Eldaloth down. He will use the churchmen to take it where he and I cannot go, to the heart of Eldalur Imora. He will trick them into destroying Ki-Hol. More of his plans I do not know, but now you know the doom that awaits the world. It falls to you to stop it if you can. Remember, the weapon he has created can be used to destroy him.
Joran released her and left hurriedly through the back, leaving the Shalane stunned and confused. Her body wanted to stay inert, her sluggish mind still trying to churn out what she was to do. Could a sword really destroy Eldalur Imora and Ki-Hol with it? Was her blood that powerful? She needed Jen's knowledge and her mother's wisdom, and again she prayed for their deliverance from Echo Hold. Vidar Gard ran into the chapel, Dacen charging down the aisle. He knelt before her.
We have failed you. We felt the blood being drained from you, but Aethon kept us from coming to your aid. Are you well?
Help me up, Dacen. I am well enough, she said. Get Maywin and General Harband. We can't delay.
She stumbled, and Dacen grabbed her arm to steady her.
You must rest.
There is no time. Is Aethon gone?
Yes. Eldaloth, or Mikik, or whoever, ordered them to leave immediately for Echo Hold.
Then time is short. We will ride, even if you must tie me to the horse.